He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We want to welcome you to Friday, February the 17th, 2023. And I kept trying to say that it was a travel day. Today is a travel day for us. And so we ask that you would pray for us, that God would keep us safe on the road, and that it would be a successful journey. That would be greatly appreciated. And also want to take just a moment to invite you out to the church service on Sunday, special gathering, and their entire ministry will be with us. It's not just going to be their choir. It's going to be the entire ministry that is there. And so our church is going to get to experience what a special gathering church service is all about. And so that's going to be pretty interesting. So if you do not have a church home, I would like to take just a moment to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Number of people say, I don't do too well around a lot of people. Well, then we may be just the church for you. We're not exactly the biggest church around. It's not that we don't have a big heart. We have people that come in and people that go out and people that move in and people that move away. But like I was telling on yesterday's program, everybody needs to build their life with a shelter in time of storm, and that is for Jesus. So today we're going to go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. We're still working our way through this last portion of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is describing the importance of hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God and what that looks like in our lives. And so Matthew 7, 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. So yesterday I was talking about the rains that came down. I was likening that to spiritual attacks that that come into your life, and that you need to build your life anchored and obedient to the Word of God, so that no matter what attack occurs, that the shield of faith that God gives to you will quench every fiery dart that comes your way. Today I want to talk to you about the sustainability that your life must have, because the attacks that come down also have the propensity to exponentially increase, and you can find yourself under a great deal of pressure that would try and sweep you away. There's a lot of discouragement and depression. There's a lot of hopelessness in our society that exists right now. It's both inside the church and outside of the church. Sometimes it's political pressure. Sometimes it's relational pressure. Sometimes it's financial pressure. There's all sorts of things that come, and what we're going to look at today are the floods. Now, the floods come as a result of the relenting or the unrelenting rain that may beat upon one's life. So January was an extremely wet season for the West Coast, the state of California. There was what they were calling atmospheric rivers. I just love how everything has to have some cataclysmic name attached to it now. In case you do not know it, the West Coast has been in drought conditions for quite some time now. They have not been getting enough rain. That has been coupled with some bad water management decisions that they have out there. That's their choice. They can make those decisions. But it's had a detrimental effect on the water supply. And, you know, we see that happen. Listen, drought is a serious thing. When it hits the region of the country that grows the food, it can be life-threatening, not just for them, but for other people as well. So, one of the things that's happened in our part of the country during some past droughts, when the Mississippi River was running pretty low, and I think it's at a pretty low condition right now, is a lot of times we'll have a storm that will come. It will move into the Gulf of Mexico, and it will travel just like straight up the Mississippi River, dumping huge, huge quantities of water into those regions, and then you end up getting floods and things like that. And in fact, there are some areas of land along the Mississippi that flooded so often that the federal government and the flood insurance program said, look, this has happened so many times. What we need to do is we need to buy this land so that it can flood and we don't have to rebuild it over and over and over again. In the town that I grew up in, after I was an adult and moved away, they had some serious flooding that came in. It changed the landscape of the community. You could be driving down the interstate through that town and you could look up and you could still see the high water mark of the road. It would have submerged vehicles. And so what they did was they came in and they made parks and things like that. And instead of building them up, they built them down so that the water in those particular regions would have some place to be diverted to, away from people's homes, away from the roadways, because they said, we've got to do something. If a flood has come here this time, a flood could come again. And back to California. I intentionally looked at this because there were rivers at record lows, lakes at record lows, and they were talking about our community just cannot handle this type of rain. And so I went and I looked it up. I said, I wonder what it has done to the water levels of these lakes and rivers. And they were saying, you know, it's made very, very little effect. That may be true for the rain that fell on that location. But geographically, you are not just impacted by what happens at your particular location. And where I live, the year my daughter graduated from high school, we got 29 inches of rain in our neighborhood in just a 3-day period of time. It was very, very wet. And in case you want to know one more flood story, that was a time where the amount of water that was coming in or coming down was more than what my roof could handle. And so I got to repair another roof. I've repaired a few roofs in my day. What happens due to mountains and things like that, not only did that area get lots of rain out in California, but the Sierra Nevada mountains, they got like 50 inches of snow in a very short period of time. Not too far once you get inland from the West Coast, there's the Rocky Mountains, and the air goes up over that, and storms go over that, and there's lots of snow that comes down. And what happens is it's great for skiing, but what is going to happen here in just a short period of time is when the temperature heats up, all of that rain that came in the past that is built up in the mountains, it's going to begin to melt. And I will tell you what I think you're going to see happen. I think you're going to see some of those low water levels begin to rise. And I think you're also going to see some of those places that are already saturated when that water begins to obey the law of gravity and start flowing down. I think you're going to find some of those communities that were impacted by the rains that they're soon going to be impacted by the floods. In Genesis chapter 6, people were living their lives in a haphazard way, a sinful way, and they didn't have any consideration for what God wanted them to do. And God said, Noah, I need you to build an ark, and because I'm going to send rain. And many theologians believe that it had never rained before, that he was the subject of ridicule and mocking and scorn for, you know, the 120 years that it took him to build that. But if you look into Genesis chapter 7, you're going to see that one day it began to rain, and it rained for 40 days. I don't believe it was just a sprinkle. I have a feeling it was quite an intense storm. And as the rains came down, the floods came up. And here it says the floods came and they beat on the house. And so you know that if you live in a flood-prone area, that you've got to, if there's a storm that's coming, they will tell you you need to get sandbags. You need to prepare your house to be able to withstand. You don't want the things that are on the outside making their way into your house on the inside. Water intrusion and mold and all of that sort of stuff can be very bad. I've got a friend of mine whose house, I think he's got a two-story house, if I'm not mistaken, but the flood, I think it was the first story of the house had to be pretty much gutted and rebuilt after the hurricanes that we had last year because they couldn't keep the water out of the house. And so when those storms were going on, my son was talking to one of my other kids and said, look, they've got this product that is out there that you can put it around your house, inflate it, and it will keep the water from coming into your house. And it's like, well, that's a really good thing. That's a really good thing. You and I are called to be anchored to Jesus, because what happens is when floods come in and they you may not really realize the power of water until you find yourself vulnerable to it. When we were a kid, when I was a kid, my parents got an above ground swimming pool for us. We absolutely loved having that and getting to go out there and splash around and all that sort of stuff. And what we would do is we would start to run around in circles in the swimming pool, and we would get the current built up to where it was altering the shape of the swimming pool with all of the bracing and all of the reinforcement. It would go, and you just watch it as the bulge moved around. If you do that to an even greater degree, you can cause the structure to collapse just from the power of the moving water. That's what happened to the entire globe during Noah's flood. They built their life in such a way, so wickedly, that their life could not survive the rise and the power of the moving water when it came. Their house was swept away. They were swept away. I will tell you one more. This is a personal thing, a personal understanding. Noah built this ark without power tools. He would have to go out and cut down the trees. He would have to shape the trees or shape the boards, build this first effort, coat it with pitch and tar, and this is the hope for the existence of humanity. I've done a lot of things the first time, and very rarely have I ever got them right the first time. You see, I don't believe that it was the reality that Noah was such a great construction worker, such a great boat builder, that is what survived or caused him to survive. If you go back and read in Genesis, it says that God sealed Noah and his family and all of the animals into the ark. And that's what I believe caused Noah and his family to survive. Noah had found favor with God. Noah was sealed in because of his obedience, because of his faith. And God said, you know, even if it was reduced down to just one family, I can still bring about my redemptive purpose for humanity. I knew this guy. My son used to live next door to him, and he was a home builder. He had built his home. He used to live down in South Florida back in the late 80s and the early 90s when Hurricane Andrew came through. It devastated a community, and there's actual pictures of every home in the community being wiped away because of the intense winds and the intense flooding and things like that. Every home was wiped away except for his. And so when my son told me that, I had a conversation with him, and he was telling me, he said, yes, all of those other homes were built up to the code that was in existence at that time. He said, but I built my home above code. I went above and beyond what the minimal standards were. I wanted my home to be able to survive. And I think there's a great lesson in there for us. Every single person is going to face the rising floodwaters of immorality, of wickedness, of temptation. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 43. Let me turn over there real quick. Isaiah chapter 43. And it says this in verse number 1, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." So when you build your life on hearing the word of God and doing the word of God, and you are anchored in your relationship with Jesus, those floods are not going to be able to move him. And because you're attached to him, they're not going to be able to move you. So you want to go above the standard, above code, for what this culture and this society is saying is permissible, and say, you know what? I'm going to go with a higher standard. I'm going to go with the standard of God's word. And when the floods do come, I'm still going to be okay. I'm going to be able to survive. And so that's, that is the recommended course of action. Over in Isaiah chapter 59 is another very familiar verse, and it says this in verse number 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him." And so even if you do find yourself in an adverse situation where the enemy is coming at you in devastating volumes, if you've built your life on hearing God's word and obeying God's word, those floodwaters, though they beat against your house, they are not going to be able to overwhelm you, because the Spirit of the Lord will just raise up a standard. There's another possible translation to this passage that says, when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And so the emphasis is that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God says, like the old movie Crocodile Dundee, I don't remember if it was the first one or the second one, some people are going to rob him in New York City, and they pull out a knife, and he says, "That's not a knife." And then he pulls out this big old thing, and he said, "Now this is a knife." And when they saw the knife that he had, they realized the knife that they had wasn't going to cut the mustard anymore. And so off that they went. So God wants you and I to have such a life of obedience to the word of God that says, look, the standard of your life is more than sufficient for a Category 5 hurricane, for overwhelming floods. I've always been fascinated with the construction of automobiles that were designed to drive through rivers where the engines were submerged because they had an intake that went above the hood system. I was like, to me, that's amazing. I don't know if that car is going to exist for a long, long time, being exposed to those conditions. You know, I don't know if there's any fish that get lodged in there during the traversing of the riverbed or whatever, but I find the construction of being able to survive when everything else around you is being swept away, I find that fascinating. One of the things that I have seen, and I think we saw it during these last hurricanes as well, was when the floods become so devastating that, again, we're talking about wise and foolish. Foolish people say, I don't need a foundation. I'll just build the same house he built. I'll just build it on the shifting sand of culture. And the where the foundation was supposed to be, when it gets washed away, the house can still look immaculate and pristine. It can look like it's surviving until all of a sudden everything that supported it gets washed out. And all of a sudden, you see what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 7, that the house fell and great was its fall. I want you to be able to survive. Again, what we talk about here is the Word of God. But if the Word of God is ignored, if you do not remain obedient to the Word of God, if you start disobeying God, listen, Jesus told a parable about a servant who started off doing the job he was commissioned to do and was taking good care, but the master delayed in his coming, and that servant became abusive and all of that sort of stuff. And then when the master came back, there was a price to be paid. I want you to not only start off your journey in obedience, I want to encourage you, finish your journey in obedience. There's kings in Israel. Some of them didn't start well, but they finished well. They started in disobedience, but they finished in obedience. The ones I really feel sorry for are the ones who started off in obedience, started doing what God wanted, but in the end, they gave up and started doing things the way that the world did. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you, because the storms are going to come. They don't just come once. They come repeatedly. You and I just don't need to be able to survive some of the storms of life. We need to be able to survive all of the storms of life. Let me pray for you today. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that every person hearing the sound of my voice would hear your word, obey your word, do your word, and Lord, when the storms come, when the rains come, the floods come, the winds come, they'll still be standing because they're anchored in Jesus. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here.
Thank
on
you
Refresh.
For tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Welcome to the Gospel Seed with Pastor Gary. Today I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. That word deeply actually means the stretched or strained muscles of an athlete. And that puts a whole different emphasis on our actions of love. Are we loving to the point of being stretched or strained?